Colonel Hollis, Drill 5.
Whilst you were a soldier in India, did you think that British rule was going to end soon?
I think we all had an inkling that something was afoot with the uprising of Gandhi and his Congress party. Obviously, the Indians decked themselves up in white hats, which was the symbol of Congress. They were after something. Just what it was at that time, I don't think we really appreciated. But we did appreciate that there was a political movement afoot.
And what was the attitude of the army officers towards the discussion of politics? Were they very interested in what was going on, or was it discouraged?
Well, this is saying that any successful soldier should keep out of politics, and that generals should never meddle in politics. Well, this suited us very well, and we were discouraged to take any interest in these movements, and we didn't want to. Therefore, I'm afraid we were rather ill-informed of the situation.
Did you have access to newspapers?
Oh, yes. We had access to newspapers and read them. But, of course, the majority of papers were written in English and printed by English firms.
Were these British newspapers or were they English-language newspapers printed in India?
The English-language papers printed in India. The distance was so great that they always had to put the date forward so as the news wasn't too late. Thus, you could read Friday's edition of the Western India Gazette on Thursday in Karachi, because they dated it such that it wouldn't be all that old 48 hours later.
That was the newspaper you read, was it? Or were there any other news?
Oh, no, there's plenty of papers, and, of course, the English papers came out, too.
Can you remember the names of any other Indian newspapers that you read?
No. They were used as some local paper. There were obviously political papers, but they would have been printed in the dialect for the use of locals who spoke that dialect. And even if we got the papers, we probably wouldn't have understood the dialect, because Urdu was the lingua franca for everyone in India, but I believe there are close on 400 other dialects.
Did you learn any Urdu yourself?
Yes, one had a man called a Munchi who was a teacher, but I regret to say that I didn't progress further than to provide what I wanted to go out shooting and the rest. Several officers in the battalion spoke fluent Urdu, and some spoke Pashto. But there didn't seem a cause for me to pursue the matter, stationed as I was in a place like Karachi, where everyone spoke English.
What language did you use when you were speaking to your bearer?
English. He would probably understand that better than the Urdu we spoke, because he might not have learnt Urdu, but he's learnt English, he's been brought up on it. And if he was going to be a bearer, he would have to speak English. Bearers in the Indian Army, many of them, their officers who all spoke Urdu, might have used that language.
Was he a Punjabi?
My bearer was an Afridi, a Pathan.
So his native tongue anyway would have been Pashto.
It would, yes.
So you, by using Urdu, you would both have been using a language other than your mother tongue anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It was a considerable advantage to have a bearer of that type, Of course, when you were travelling, the bearers were all in a compartment on their own behind the main coach. And if you had a Bataan bearer and he got in there, it was 101, that every other bearer would get out and disappear, and he would thereby be able to serve you very much better.
Why would they disappear?
I was terrified of him.
Simply because he was a Bataan?
Yeah, a knife.
Your bearer always carried a knife in his belt?
Well, they knew he had it on him.
Coming back to your access to news, did you or the other officers at that time have a radio, have access to a radio?
No.
Can you tell me about the relationship between the NCOs and the officers, what it was like in the time that you were soldiering in India?
Yes, I think at that time the discipline, which was based more on responsibility and proudness of one's unit, was at its highest. Each NCO was far more concerned with showing that he was responsible for a first-rate unit than worrying about his own affairs. The NCOs, the experienced NCOs, were quick to look after the new joined subaltern, who may have joined his platoon or company, to make sure that he was fully trained in his duties and new setup, because he was anxious that nothing should go wrong with his particular unit. And it was up to him to see whether it was an officer or a junior NCO that they didn't make a mistake, because he wanted his unit to be the best in the battalion. Well, if you had a battalion made up of units of that type, you could only have an extremely efficient setup. And this happy degree of pride in one's battalion and subunit kept these battalions in India at a very high state of efficiency. And I would say that at that time, when the army, in the 30s, when the army usually goes down to rock bottom between wars, the army in India, the British army in India, was at its happiest and most efficient.